What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 of the Score. Brad Bigs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the program and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Bigs A.
Hey, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on? Morning, boys. What's going on?
Hey, Brad. So when you look at this week's Packers game and you hear from, obviously, the people up there, and yesterday we heard from Matt LaFleur, we heard from Matt Nagy. We were talking about it earlier in the 5 of 5. Matt Nagy saying that they're in a better place mentally than they were before week one. On one hand, that's encouraging. On the other hand, it's discouraging because you wonder, boy, why weren't they in a better state of mind when the season started? And you look back with more, even more regret at that week one. How did you interpret the comments?
Well, I think it's trying to play off the positive momentum that the team's had lately. That's my take. You know, is there something that he would do differently during the off season, during training camp? Would he consider playing some of these frontline guys in the preseason more next summer? We're probably not going to get an answer to that question until very close to the preseason next year. But I don't think there's anything Matt Nagy would do a lot differently. I mean, if he is going to play the guys a little bit, he's not going to play them a ton. And I don't think that necessarily puts you in a poor frame of mind. That one of the overriding themes of this season for this Bears team is that it did not handle prosperity very well, and the Bears prospered last year to go 12-4, the worst to first turnaround, winning the division, having the playoff game, and while that didn't go well, everyone was excited. You know, they had that Bears 100 thing in June, and the fever for the Bears couldn't have been any greater amongst the fan base, and I think really around the team, and they just didn't handle that well coming into this season, and certainly the offense was not in a good spot. But now they've got a little bit of momentum, which brings with it a little bit of confidence, and I think they're feeling pretty good about their chances to head up to Lambeau Field on Sunday.
You know, we've all been around this team for a very long time, Brad, and I think the problem that I have is I can't necessarily go after Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace or whomever about this, because this has been a very long-standing issue for the organization. The Bears have had difficulty dealing with success dating back, you know, well before 85, when they came out of a World Series a Super Bowl and suffered setbacks. I just don't know why that is with this organization, but it's an organization problem.
Yeah, well, just flip through the years, and they have a particularly difficult time putting together consecutive winning seasons. Now, that's in play for them right now. They're 7-6 with an opportunity to finish above 500 and have consecutive winning seasons. They're going to have to win two of the final three games to pull that off, but they could do something that really has rarely been done by the Chicago Bears, and that's because they've been playing better football of late.
Brad, yesterday Mitch talked, and he claimed not to have heard what Tramon Williams said after week one and said they wanted to make him play quarterback, and that may be the case, but you're Mike Pettine, and you're sitting there, and you're watching, you know, the way things have evolved for the Bears and how dangerous he is when he's running the football. How do you think they will attack the Bears' offense this week, and how different will it be from week one?
Well, they had a lot of success with what they did in week one, so I wasn't very too far from that to hold the Bears to 3 points. Mitch has been dangerous with his legs of late, certainly last week against the Cowboys, but the Green Bay defense is very different, and the Packers have given up a very little yardage to quarterbacks this season. Quarterbacks have not been able to pull the ball down and run on them. Now, you know, they haven't played the Ravens and Lamar Jackson or anybody like that, but they've been pretty good at that, and I think that, you know, the Packers had that in mind when they played that first game, that, hey, let's keep him in the pocket and make him throw the ball. And that's what Tramon Williams was alluding to, and they did a good job of that. And Mitch obviously struggled throwing the football. That's not any, you know, great revelation by Williams or the Packers. And, you know, we'll see. Mitch has been better lately. The Packers secondary's played all right, guys. They've got 13 interceptions this season. Opponent passer rating is around 85, 86, which is considerably lower, obviously, than Aaron Rodgers. But they've got a good pass rush as well, with Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith both signed in free agency this year. They're the only team in the league to have two defenders with double-digit sacks.
It's difficult not to compare the safeties in this game because one is a current Bear and one a former Bear, and one is a current Packer and a former Packer. So, you know, I know once removed with Washington, but I would imagine this game bigger for Ha Ha Clinton Dix because he's going to be a free agent. Adrian Amos knows the kind of money he's got.
Yeah, Ha-Ha thought, you know, he'd have a big payday before now. Talk about a guy who was a former first-round draft pick, so a much different entry into the league than Adrian Amos, who was, what, fifth round, I believe, when he came in. So Ha-Ha thought that payday was going to come. You know, the Packers determined that they weren't going to pay him, and because they weren't going to pay him, maybe they'd see if they could get something for him. And amazingly, they flipped him to the Redskins before the trade deadline last season, guys, for a fourth-round pick. A team gave up a fourth-round pick for a guy that had half a season remaining on his contract. So that was a pretty good get for Green Bay. He goes to Washington and plays. I think he's played better football this year than he did a year ago, but you know, some have kind of celebrated the play of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix this season, and show me more than like three or four highlight plays. He hasn't played poorly, but he's not going to the Pro Bowl, so he's been steady for the Bears, and I think that's a compliment. But I don't think he's been, you know, outstanding by any measure. He's certainly been probably better against the run than a lot of people expected that he would be. And that's turned into a good signing for the Bears, but I don't know that they need to rush out and prioritize re-upping him.
Speaking of free agency, Brad, interesting item in your mailbag this week. Danny Trevathan obviously out. They have not put him on injured reserve yet. He may be coming back. He won't be playing Sunday. But how will his injury status heading into free agency affect his value and his possibility that he would re-sign with the Bears, if it will at all?
Yeah, well, I've thought all along he's a guy they probably, you know, would like to have back if it's at their number, but if not, he probably heads elsewhere, and you don't feel too bad about that because he's the kind of guy that brings a compensatory draft pick in return, provided you're not super active in free agency signing players at maybe that position and other positions. I don't think the injury is going to affect him in free agency because this was an elbow injury. This wasn't something that affects his mobility, his athleticism, his range, and that's what makes him a very good inside linebacker, a guy who, an off-the-ball linebacker who can track plays down, who's instinctual. Now, the age thing's going to work against him a little bit, but you got to believe Danny Trevathan would like one more nice bite at the apple after finishing off a $28 million four-year contract for the Bears. So I don't think you go out and pay at that position because they've got Roquan Smith, who's making good money, as a top 10 draft pick, and is probably a guy that they would like to extend long-term in the future, provided everything, you know, remains good with him. You really can't sink, in my opinion, big money into both inside linebacker positions. So I think they'll look to go for a cheaper, more of a bargain version there. And look at how Kwiatkowski's filled in. Kevin Pierre-Louis played well the other night. I'm not saying they're necessarily options, but you can find guys that can play that off-the-ball linebacker position without having to go out and pay them. You know, shoot, Trevathan's made $7 million a season.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot riding on this game because Trevathan could be shut down for the year if you lose the game. Obviously, we know the flex schedule. The Bears won't get a chance to be the talk of national television. And why did they take Mitch over Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, 3 hours of Patrick Mahomes versus Mitch Trubisky for the nation to see in Week 16 if they remain in that primetime spot, guys.
All right, Bigsy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
Appreciate it, Brad.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.